in our togetherness. And what I heard Dow say was, maintain your individuality. That's what respect is. You can be a Democrat, you can be a Republican, and coexist. We do it all the time in this country, independent. In this room, there are some of you who have strong views on abortion. Some of you in favor of choice. Some of you who do not hold that view because of your beliefs concerning the child, the fetus. We don't expect everybody to agree. Some of you are very concerned about the wars in Iraq and in Afghanistan. Some of you believe that it's a necessary war because of your remembrance of 9/11. This is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to have differences of opinion. And also, it's not really very mature to try to beat down the other person. By the way, I have no experience of you ever doing that with me. You listen to me and you say, okay, I'll have that, but I don't. When I talk about religious abuse, I want to be very, very clear. I never want to take a person away from their religion. Why would it? I'm happy if you're a born-again Christian or a devout Catholic. Why would I not be? If you follow the teachings, then I'm sure you're loving, respectful, and kind. The sneezing is beginning again. Yeah. But let me explain it, if I may, quickly this way. I came from a rageful father. In those days, we just called it an unhappy house. Today, it would be called a dysfunctional family. But I'm not against families. Just because I suffered abuse in a family doesn't mean I'm against families. My sister has a wonderful family. I've visited friends of mine who have beautiful families. In other words, just because I came from a dysfunctional family doesn't mean to say that I'm against families. And just because I talk about religious abuse doesn't mean I'm against religion. So any of you who may, and I say this to you not because anybody gave me any feedback, but I just want you to know because it's the hardest topic to talk about in America. Because people think that if you talk about religious abuse, you're putting down religion. And I'm not. Any more than talking about dysfunctional families puts down families. Some of you here are able to enjoy a glass of wine. Maybe if it's Christmas too. And be quite happy. I'm not against you having a drink. I'm not a prohibitionist. It's just that I don't drink. And I don't drink because I didn't have two. I tried for 20 years to have two. It never worked. Two was never enough. But I always started out by saying two. If it was New Year, three. And I share this with you because I'm what? Because you've been hurt. You wouldn't be at this conference if you hadn't been hurt. And hurt, a woundedness, has a way of showing itself as we get older. That's why some of you are probably identifying with when Dow talks about codependency. I saw lost his identity. Control, some of you have a control issue. Maybe not this group. But by the way, just decided to give you some notes about what I'm going to want to talk about. We don't want to argue strictly, but we just thought this would be helpful.
Thank you.
go to what makes you happy. And let others do the same. Different strokes for different thoughts. You know, you don't have to agree with homosexuality. You just have to respect people who have chosen to live that way. You don't have to agree. You just have to show respect. You don't have to agree with everything that I'm saying. Can you imagine if you're standing up here for 1.5 hours with relatively no notes, just talking? You would have put it maybe a different way. Of course you would. But you're not talking. The problem with adult children's movement, when I say the problem, the challenge for us, is that depending on the level of severity, is the level of trauma. Some of you have been severely traumatized. It wasn't just physical abuse or sexual abuse, it was a whole lot of things. And it's messed you up, especially if you've not been able, money reasons, or your own particular preference, to get therapy. So in a group like this, there's some people who never really had therapy. Only support groups, which is not therapy. And there are some of you sitting here who have been in therapy for a number of years, and you speak highly of it, and it's done wonders for you. So we have a whole group of people here. And it's obviously clear that you have to deal with your wounds. By the way, you deal with your wounds, I deal with mine. I was the one with the rageful father. By the way, he used to bang his head, he never hit me. He never hit my sister, never hit my mother. He would bang his head against the wall in his anger. So he bled. He hurt himself. He was so angry in his rage, he hurt himself. And for years I said what I just said. He never hurt me. Actually, he did. Emotionally. Because my sister and I, she was older than me, but my sister and I desperately tried to stop him with my mother banging his head. Because he's bleeding in his rage. And that was emotional abuse. And you know that emotional abuse affects you mentally, so it was mental abuse. And by the way, you also know it affects you physically. So I was physically abused through the emotional abuse. And what happened with me was, at 16 years of age, I went into theological college. I joined the church. I went from one family
understand. Now, I never put it together. But from a crazy, abusive family, who, by the way, also told me they loved me, in between banging heads against walls, I went to the church. Because Jesus wouldn't hurt me. However, the problem for me was being educated by Jesuits and then going to the Episcopal Church, to the Church of England, was that in those days they had certain attitudes towards other faiths. So I did a deal. I would be a faithful priest and I would obey what they asked me to do. And so I had attitudes towards gays because the church did. I had attitudes towards Jews, we prayed for Jews, especially on Good Friday. We prayed for them, especially because they were responsible for the crucifixion. And thoughtlessly went along. Because that was the deal. And any other priest did the same. And I never really saw very much overt pedophilia. In other words, older people sexually messing with children. But there was sexual abuse. But we never understood it because it was a power thing. Which, of course, today we understand. That's why employers can't dig secretaries. Well, there's problems if you do, because of the power. You know? Priests in the Church of England would have many girlfriends. Because you could get married. So you could have many girlfriends. But the power of the priest in the robes on the Sunday when the girl was 22. So I'm only sharing this with you. We have come a long way. Nobody is denying we've come a long way. But if you have woundedness and you know it's affecting you because you're an angry person, you don't like it about yourself, but you're an angry person, you tend to be excessively judgmental. So you judge people very quickly without really knowing them. You're control freak. You know what I mean? So, you know, if you were doing this conference, it would be so different. We've already worked it out. But my point with it is that not all of this is necessarily negative, as long as it's done with the foundation of respect. That's what I'm saying to you. The one line from scripture that is interesting. Physician, heal thyself. Physician, heal thyself. If you are going to be a healer, then be healed. Because wounded healers are dangerous. You know, and face yourself. Face your demons. Don't run away from them. Okay, now, I'm going to begin. By the way, just so you're clear, I have no intention at all of wanting to keep plugging my books. But remember, my books are my children. I don't have children.
wisdom. Health is the greatest gift. Contentment is the greatest wealth. Faithfulness is the best relationship. Woodland. This saying is at the heart of the Say Yes of Your Spirit, and it needs to be considered in great detail. My health is important. How can I do anything if I'm sick? There is no real life if I'm unhealthy. That is why I take care of my body. I eat healthily, and I get rest. I am content with my life. I enjoy where I live. I enjoy what I do and the friends that I have. I do not need anything more in my life to make me happy than what I have. Also, I am faithful to my understanding of spirituality. It is based on the goal to treat people the way I would want to be treated. I understand that when I'm dancing God, I am also dancing with Buddha. In the final prayer, today I celebrate the wisdom that is my life. So, can we go to the first slide? By the way, we'll do what we did yesterday. I'll stop 20 minutes beforehand for any questions. Any of you, by the way, see Michael, who's at my desk, outside there, if you want copies of this sent to you, okay? Let's start at the very beginning. What's really damaged us, as I've said, Yes, but they're not doing their job. Sometimes they come late. Especially on a Monday. Well, what did you say? If you're a responsible person, talk to them. And if you can't get anything, if you're not a manager, if you're a manager, deal with it. If you're not a manager, go to the manager. By the way, what else can you do? Love issue. Love is in here. Everywhere. Love issues. Is it love issues or sex issues?
Yes.
See, if it's sex issues, it's sex issues. Don't be afraid of calling it what it is. If it's a love issue, where does it start? I don't think people love me. Well, do you love yourself? Well, I'm not talking about that. Well, maybe it's not. What is it Oscar Wilde said? When you begin to love yourself, that's the beginning of a lifelong romance. That's Oscar Wilde. The interesting thing is, people who begin to love themselves actually find people fall in love with them. Why? Because they develop the P word. And the P word, that is, oh, you've got personality. What is personality? Personality is when you love yourself. By the way, love, you're not infatuated. It's not like any time you go past the mirror. You're not crazy about yourself. I mean, get off. You love yourself. You love yourself because you're so grateful for what you have, and you're grateful for what God has given you, if you believe in God. And you develop a personality. You can't have a personality to go on stage or to manage or to write a book and go on a book tour or to do whatever you do unless you kind of at some level have a love or respect of yourself. And as I think Dow alluded to it, and that is, if you don't love yourself, but you kind of keep falling in love with others, now you set yourself up for codependence. Because it's all about them. You know? Do you understand it's kind of like, now it depends spiritually where you are on the journey, but unless you're very metaphysical and you understand about noetic sciences, which maybe some of you don't, but I mean if you understand about noetic sciences, then we have a tendency to say we are perfect. Now, it doesn't mean to say you don't make mistakes, it doesn't mean to say you don't have challenges, but when you came into this world, a reflection of the divine image. But why I'm saying this is, some people are very hard on themselves. You let somebody down, it happens. You told a lie. You had an impure thought. It happens. But some people, they beat themselves up and live in a prison of guilt. Now, I want to say a positive thing about Catholicism, because
you have allowed yourself to become very, very, very dependent, and you don't like it about yourself. You have allowed yourself. So people give you this. By the way, there's a price to this. And you don't like that about yourself. But you've got yourself in a rut. Because you like a car. It's a beautiful car. You get a car every 3 years. You live in a lovely house. You don't have to do a lot of work. Some people are bought, and some people know they're bought, and some people buy. Financial dependency on others has always been a problem, especially if you loathe that part of you. And if you know, not for today, but it opens up the role of women, what women have to look like, how women have been used, even today. Next. Don't talk. Remember, don't talk, don't trust, don't fear. Here's what the religious do. Very simple. Instead of don't talk, don't trust, don't fear, it's don't think, don't doubt, don't question. And by the way, no faith, no denomination is excluded from this. I know some Buddhists who can be really rigid. Don't think it's just, you know, like Buddhists somehow or other are free from all. Look at what he's saying about you. When he says, don't think, obey, like your thoughts are not important. But they are important. You're asking important questions. If Adam and Eve were the first two people that were created, and they had sons, who the heck did the sons marry? Now, are you stupid for asking that? I mean, most people would say, Houston, we got a problem. And to be honest with you, it's kind of like, if you look at some of the great teachers, Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, they sometimes say different things. Anyway, I mean, if you really study them, they say, it's almost like they have moods. You know, you get Jesus on a bad day. it's God, he's not out of our movement. You know what it's like when you don't have a butt, and you catch him and he's just not feeling on top of the world. It was a long day. There wasn't a lot of food, 5,000 people to feed. It was a mess. And he comes out and he says something. You know, father will be against son will be against father. Creates a situation whereby, you know, he seems very definite. Yeah. He who is not with me is against me. It's happened to like George Bush. I wonder where George got that from.
stuff, don't people love you? Anyone can do that. Love your enemy. Love those people who do bad things to you. Love. Yesterday, you're not with me, you're against me. And you know, if you catch, you know, I mean, I don't know what level of humanness you want to give to Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad. Muhammad's similar. That's the problem, you see. You know, you get some of these imams and the mullahs, and to be honest with you, they can find different quotations in the Quran. I mean, they're not completely loopy. I mean, they're not completely stupid. And so you can find, and this is what I think many of you have discovered, you can find whatever you want. Slavery was justified in America and in other parts of the world on scripture. Slaves, be obedient to your masters. Many women today in Tennessee, sorry, not Tennessee, where are you? Here you are. But in some of the more southern places and parts of California. Subservient and obey the head of the household, and you'll find sentences. So I want you to think, and I want you to doubt more than anything else. I want you to be able to question. Has the church suffered because it has lost its femininity in the priesthood? Now, as you know, in the Episcopal Church today we have women priests. They are wonderful. Wonderful. In my opinion. You get a male priest and a female priest, and you get them working, and they bring a different energy. They get even their servants different. They bring a different feminine energy. And to be honest with you, you must ask the question, has the church suffered because it's been basically masculine oriented? No. And so I want you, especially some of you who have been struggling, and that is some of this affected your relationships? Could I date a Jew? Absolutely. Could I date a born again Christian? Yes. Dance together. You don't climb into my skin. And you don't let me in your skin. Let there be space in our togetherness. Be careful if somebody wants you to be a loyal soldier. PBS, they were talking to American troops and some of the things that happened in Vietnam and some of the things that happened in Afghanistan and Iraq. I just think it was you go into treatment, you get therapy. You can go for therapy and not be in treatment. Treatment is normally a place, like a center, and they're called treatment centers. And they were came about treatment centers for depression, treatment centers for addiction, treatment centers for codependency, and that's where they're like a little school, and you go into treatment to complete 10 days, 16 days. Therapy is usually one-on-one. So in treatment, you could be sitting with a group of people, like 12 or 16, or you could be in a class like this, part of the lecture. Therapy is normally you talking to a therapist. Okay? Generally. Would most of you agree with me on that?
Yes.
Now, you can get some. Yes?
I'm sorry, I just got somebody telling me. Questions are vague.
Say?
Okay.
What was your question?
Oh, well, I was wondering about questions, but since you insist.
No, I didn't hear what you said, sorry.
Well, somebody told me that questions are at the end.
Oh, okay, yes. Questions are at the end. But this is an ACOA conference.
So, okay, my question is.
Oh! Doggy, doggy. And the dog. similar way, I want you to be Sherlock Holmes. Say, let's just say for fun, I need to be Sherlock Holmes.
I need to be Sherlock Holmes.
Say it again.
I need to be Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes was somebody who observed. In other words, is she walking like she's talking? Is she talking like she's walking? Have I caught her on some lies? Have I caught him on some lies? Did I see a behavior because he's fine with me? But did I just see an anger that really was quite inappropriate? The other person was trying to park the car, and I saw a side of him. I instead, now it wasn't directed to me, it was directed to the person who was trying to park the car, but there was no need, it was overreaction. All the Sherlock Holmes did was observed. And by the way, Sherlock Holmes did not exist. But Conan Doyle did. And Conan Doyle belonged to a group of people that were very highly spiritually advanced, like H.G. Wells, Jules Verne. And what they did was they observed and they saw things. That's why stories of Sherlock Holmes are very interesting, because you don't, he figured it out. Dr. Watson is the person who represents you and I, saying, how did you do that, Holmes? Holmes! Elementary. Elementary. So in some ways, who do you trust in safety? They come a little bit together. But you have to trust your instinct. Now, if you remember, I'm assuming, of course, that you're moving towards a healthy life. If you're a drunk, if you're taking cocaine, if you're in an abusive relationship, toxic, to be honest, your discernment goes. Your discernment goes because you're not well. I lost so much money when I was drinking. I found myself in situations that never would I be in if I'd been sober. Many of you, like myself, have met abusive women in abused situations, or men in an abusive situation. They're not just women. And they have been beaten down. So much. Mentally, physically, emotionally. Remember, it all connects. The physical and the mental, and he didn't hit me, but he shouts. And when he shouts, it's almost like he's hitting me. I'm afraid when he's, because I know he's going there, it's almost like I can see him winding himself up. And once that happens, I don't know what he's going to say. He doesn't hit me, but I don't know what the hell he's going to say. Well, if you're in that kind of situation, to be honest, discernment is limited. That's why we need to get you out of toxicity. Get the drunk sober. If you get the drunk sober, you get the cocaine person, but get out of the abuse. This other stuff I'll come to later. But this, very similar. So you do you know Sandy? Do you know if somebody likes you?
Yes.
Do you know if somebody doesn't like you? Yeah. Good. bothering you, you've got to be able to say, excuse me, we've only been now, this is our third week together. It's our third week. And I'm just going to put down some parameters here. Otherwise, there isn't going to be a fourth week. And one of the things is, and I know you don't mean it, because you're very enthusiastic, but I would like to finish my sentences. I understand your enthusiasm, but I would like to finish my sentences. Now, remember, some spiritual people believe that you are born with sense. The sense to know danger. The sense to know when you're not happy. You don't like going around cathedrals and museums every time you go on a trip. You like the beach, with a soft drink on the beach. 6 days Acapulco on the beach, not 6 days walking the city of Madrid, looking at every damn museum. So, can we just get it clear? You go to Madrid, I'm going to Acapulco. I'm not going to change you, but I know when I'm not happy. By the way, this sense is called common.
Common?
Common sense. Most therapy is common sense. He told you he wouldn't hit you again, says the therapist. Why would you believe him? Try to wait a minute. When we get there, would you wait? Or would you go and say, is it important?
Yes, just throw in the other part. Throw in the hypervigilance so I can get to the third date. You know, the opposite of not knowing. Since we're on this topic, what do you do if you're so
hypervigilant
that you decide on the first date, this is not good? And maybe it is, maybe it's not, but you're too
hypervigilant.
You know,
you're
a
one-date person.
Right, you're done. One thing wrong, and you're done.
He didn't even kiss me.
No.
He didn't even kiss me to say goodnight. I got out of the car as if I was chopped meat. Or, he wanted to kiss my cheek on the first date. What I'm trying to share with you is, remember, don't make assumptions. Can we have a talk about this? Because I think I like you, but it's only the first date. You follow me? It's only the first date. You know, we're just getting to know each other, Harry. Cool. But I do like it. And I'm more than willing to try another day. And don't get upset if I'm not paying my way. Don't get upset. Horrible little fly. I didn't get it. I'm at an ACLA conference. You're missing fire. Alcoholics. Doesn't matter. It's a conversation. Have the conversation. If you don't like, then you don't like. And you're going to know if you don't like. Because there's going to be those unbearable silences. friendships, but even friendships involve chemistry. Some people want to be your friend, I just don't want to be your friend. I don't know why. Don't keep calling. But romance is chemistry, isn't it? And you got it or you haven't got it. But the best thing of all is to be able to feel free and strong enough to have the conversation. I don't know whether I really like you or not, but I'm willing to try another day, honestly. Just don't wear that aftershave. Oh, I smell like a toilet. Something about known each other now for 6 years. You know I wanted to marry you. You didn't. I've been with you 6 years. Something's not right. I sense it and I feel it. And I don't want it to go. I hope you will join me in getting some help for this. I can't do this on my own. I hope. Because we've put 6 years into this. But I'm sensing with every instinct I have, every discernment, slipping away. Slipping away. I don't want this relationship to fail. We need help. It takes courage. Or you could go to fear and just bury your fears. And what's this word? Hope. Hope things get better. Or you can deal with it. Like you deal with your car. There's something ticking in the car. It's not stopping the car running, but it's there. You need a true mind. Any questions?
You have 15 minutes.
I do?
Yes, you do.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Can I... Any questions on what I've said before I talk a little bit about this? Yes?
I'm still stuck on that hypervigilance. I mean, does
it... Tell me an example of it so I can give you an answer. This person, but without revealing too much. So I can... Because, you know, hypervigilance is such a term. You know, I can write a chapter on it.
When I walk in a room, okay, I know instantly the hairs in the back of my neck stand up if it's not safe, and I've got to leave, or I come in and it's safe. And sometimes it's I'm walking into a room where there's other people that are as insecure as I am, and I've already made a judgment that there's not a safe person in there, and I leave. Or I sit in that room and I can't focus on the benefits because I'm so stuck in looking around and waiting for somebody to
attract. There's no benefits to you if you don't feel safe.
Right, but...
So leave.
But it's my past that people... Does that ever go away because I may be entering a room full of alcoholics that are abusive? Doesn't mean that they're abusing today. They're in recovery.
No, I think you've got a gift. What you see as a curse is a gift. No, it's not horrible. If you keep saying it's horrible, that's what it'll be. But the truth of the matter is, you've got such a high degree of discernment, you sense when this is not a safe place for you, you get out. But here's the wonderful thing, you sense when it's safe. So, can you find somebody in the safe department to have a relationship with you?
I'm married, I have one. I just married him in April.
Good for you. Good.
Thank you.
Happy April.
After a bad one.
Let's not go there.
Right.
Okay, good things are coming. Let's move forward. Otherwise, we'll keep looking back, you know. Right. And remember, there is a spirit. Some people believe it, some people don't. But what you put your mind on is what you manifest. Okay? So, you know. Yes, ma'am. And then you.
Do you have a couple of choice sentences to say about?
Yes. Well, I mean, first of all, try to keep in front of you the model. This is the only thing. I just want you to live, okay? Every day. This is your model. This is your focus. Every day. Okay? And it's this. That's all connected. Other people have other models. But mine is, okay, first of all, communication is with your body. What do you do? Use your eyes, use your face. Will you be coming over later tonight, or shall I see you tomorrow? See their face? It was great being with you today. Honestly, I really enjoyed today. So you see the body posture? Now, there's this, I'll see you later. Right, mind, communication is, how do you think people communicate? How do they create energy? A lot of people with words, okay? It can be more than words. Have you ever met people who, when they're talking to you, kind of do this when they're talking? In a safe way, your shoulder. Have you ever seen a couple who are not talking, but they're walking with their hands? See, you can think, what is the communication? You, by the way, what is your first name?
Meg.
Meg? How would you know something, Meg? Because you were here last night. You were not. You should have been. But did you come with a break?
No.
Okay. You got a great smile. No, no. It means something. You've been smiling most of the day. In my life. You know what that communicates to me? What does it communicate? You've not said it, but what are you sending to me?
Affirmation.
And you don't have to agree with everything you're saying, but the bottom line is, this guy's trying. And that. By the way, this is communication. You know? And communication is, if you're talking about a relationship, right? You can have one of these relationships, or you can have one of these. But the three things are the same. The point here is the feeling. Sometimes you sense that I shut down with you, George. And I just want to talk to you about this. But you already know. I'm putting you to the words what you sense, because when you went to kiss me last night, I pulled away. I haven't told you this, George. But I'm just coming out of a really, really unhappy relationship. And I'm ready now to get involved with you. But I want you to know that I didn't pull away because I don't care about you. very much diminished because of your woundedness. That's why people who have never been in an abusive relationship say to the battered woman or the abused man, "You're crazy. What the hell were you doing staying there? You're a smart person, Eleanor. What the heck?" Because they weren't there. It has a progression. It's a bit like alcoholism, drug addiction. He didn't start hitting me. He gave me the best times of my life. Can you believe this? The guy who I'm frightened of showed me parts of America I'd never seen. He took me to places, he spent money on me. Then, all of a sudden, this Mr. Hyde started to emerge, but he didn't come out right away. That's why, let me just see, because I want to come back to you. I want my woman. How many of you have been married to an alcoholic? Okay. For how many years? I mean, and left him now. How many?
20.
You were 20 years before you left him. You understand what I'm asking? How many of you were with an alcoholic? You've left them now, but you were with them. How long?
20 years.
You were with them 20 years and then you left. And this is a smart lady. How long? 14. 14 years. How long, madam?
13.
Ah?
31.
Now, none of these people are stupid. That's how you can sometimes stay in a loveless relationship. Because it becomes familiar. And until you start to talk about it, that's how I lived. What was it? Go on.
There is diminished discernment when you're in a toxic relationship and it's best to leave. What if I'm the toxic person? I can't leave myself. And I want to be good to the person, but I can't. I was taught to be, having certain traits. I catch myself now that I never did before. So I'll be like, "Oh, I'm really sorry I did that. This is something I have to relearn. I have to be nice to you, but I'm learning how."
How many ACOA meetings do you go to? Do you ever see a therapist? Is it because you can't afford it, or?
I never consider it.
Consider it. Get the best. It's a tumor. Stand up and then everyone can hear you.
I'm Lorraine.
Doreen.
It's a comment and a question. You were talking about that face with the triangle, the feelings, the body, the
feelings.
Sometimes when I look at love, at the body language,
mm-hmm.
I have been with my husband 26 years. He's an alcoholic in recovery, so we have been both in the program for many years. But it does the body language. I'm very, I observe a lot, and sometimes it's a problem because I have to be working on myself to tell myself, "Don't take it personally." That's what you said. Don't take it personally. He might be in a bad mood. He had a problem in the job. He doesn't want to pay attention now. But I feel in many cases where I cannot complete my sentences, that what you were saying, I'm just reduced to phrases, or he's with the iPhone and I want to talk to him. It's, we haven't seen each other in a whole day. I want to have a conversation. But so it's kind of hard when you observe, like in my case, the body language. It's like, the communication is kind of hard,
But what stops you?
It's a contradiction, don't take it personally, but then look at how he's communicating. It sounds like you're talking about people who start in a relationship.
One thing I've noticed with so many, and it's not just you, many of you almost take literally, don't take it personally. Some things are personal. If you're with somebody who interrupts you in mid-sentence, is your husband and have not seen all day and he's on the iPhone and seems to prefer that to you, I think that's personal. When people say, you see, be careful with these little sayings, like let go, let God, give me a break. Whatever let go, let God means, it doesn't mean you don't do something. Even if you do to do nothing, it's still you doing it. You can't take you out of your life. Years ago, sponsors used to say, don't think. Excuse me, I have to think to even understand what you said. Some things are personal. It's like bad breath. Now, as far as I'm concerned, if this is a relationship and he's not dancing, it isn't a relationship. There are many marriages that are not marriages. You need to have a conversation. And you need to do it. And get the support of your group. Yes? You got all excited, yeah.
I was saying, how do we know the difference when it's personal and when it's not personal?
You would know. I mean, a person touching your body without permission, that's personal. Somebody who's hitting your kid. Remember I talked a little bit about common sense? Common sense is, let me explain it this way. By the way, a great sentence coming up. Really great. No, it's really good, honestly. It's not one of mine. It's Stravinsky. Stravinsky said, music happens between the notes. Music happens between the notes. Common sense is what happens between the facts. So, when you say what a person who is talking to somebody else in the movie, but it's not really disturbing you too much because he or she only did it a few times, that's not personal. You don't have to take. They're not deliberately trying to mess up your movie. Okay. A person who, so some things don't take personal. Some people are just badly behaved. Just bad manners. Somebody who touches your person, that's personal. You don't touch me unless I give you permission. You don't touch my kids, I'm talking now with my kids. You don't discipline my kids. That's personal. So common sense will tell you when you say don't take things personally, etc. What he's really trying to say is be aware that not everything that's going on in the world is aimed at you. But some things are. Your boyfriend raped you. That's personal. You call it a date rape, you can say what the hell you like. You're not going to stay with somebody who interrupts you and disrespects you. That's personal. So be careful with these sayings because they only have like half a truth. And half a truth is half a lie. So that's why in life you always have to do, and finishing for doubt. You always have to do, on the one hand is this, I believe in religious freedom. On the other hand, I believe that people should respect people's beliefs and non-beliefs. So you have this. Women need respect and should get respect. By the way, so should men. So is this it? And is it? And that's why these little sayings are never going to do it. Like, don't think, get out of your own way. They're helpful, as long as you don't take them seriously. I mean, literally. Otherwise, they're going to drive you crazy, because you're going to be living your whole life to a saying. And all of you are wise enough to know you can't do that. I'm going to stop now, because I'll be coming back this evening, but I did want to say to you, if any of you get any books, I will sign them. Okay, for you or anybody you love. Also, should you get the workbook, which is $20, not $35, I give you permission to copy it for any of your clients or friends. In other words, I don't need to buy two workbooks. If you buy a workbook, I'll give you permission to copy it for your clients or friends, because I don't expect you to.